Now, I had them write in the bulletin that it was Romans 12, 1 to 23, but then I realized that after the ninth verse, that's the lectionary reading for next Sunday, so I don't want to step on anybody's toes. So I'm going to end it at verse 9. So this is from a version called The Message. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No. God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what God does for us, not by what we are and what we do for God. In this way, we are like various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of God's body. But as a chopped-off finger or cut-off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other, or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times, pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. Sometimes that last phrase is the one that's hardest for me. Blessing your enemies. The title of my sermon is Changed from the Inside Out. And one of the things I was thinking about was, you know, where is it we look for God? And I know that I've changed a lot in the 30 years since I left this place. probably the main thing I did was recognize that I had a problem with alcohol. So 22 years ago, I admitted that I was powerless and stopped drinking. And at that moment, I really felt that my life changed from the inside out. And I know a lot of people wonder, where do you find God? Some people search for God in a big church with lots of programs so that there's something for everyone in the family. Some people search for God in miracles or in signs of wonder. Like, how about that eclipse last Monday? Did anybody get your glasses and see it? Some people look for God isolating themselves from the world, which some people view as hostile. But I think as many people as there are in this world, we find different ways that we feel most connected to God. But I truly believe that it is in recognizing the God in ourselves and the God in one another that that is how we meet and know God. Now, in the book of Romans, and April, I love it that you talk about how that really says what the whole message is. And at the beginning of this verse, it talks about therefore, and that therefore means, okay, you've paid attention to what's been said before, and they've talked about grace, but now, here's what you need to do. Because you've received all this, it's time to hear the difference between what faith is and what that means for us. Because God's love is redemptive for us, and God has expectations for us since we've come to know that mercy. So the grace of God is what Paul has been talking about for 11 chapters. And now he talks about the possibilities of our response and our participation in the church. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So we are together, one body, the church. And even though we are disciples, one of the things I love about the disciples is that we agree to disagree. We don't all believe the same thing. We don't have the creeds that we hear in some churches, but we say that we have no creed but Christ. And so even though we might have different beliefs, we come together to do the work of God. As Micah says, to love kindness, to do justice, and to walk humbly with our God. Only together are we the body of Christ. You know, if you took an ember out of fire, it would burn out. And I think it's the same way with us. If we attempt to respond to the gospel just as an individual without being connected to other people who want to do the same kind of good, we can burn out. So Paul calls us to a total commitment, to offer our lives as living sacrifices. Not dying to please God, but turning ourselves over to God's purposes so that we become fully alive. You know, sometimes I've looked at things and thought, oh, God wants me to do that. What a burden that's going to be. You know, that's going to be a lot of work. That's going to be really hard. It's going to make me give up something that I really want to do. But I believe that when we truly listen to God's voice and do what God is calling to us, we become fully alive. When I left Linwood, I thought that what I really wanted to do was be kind of the unofficial chaplain to the Indianapolis arts community. So I was teaching theater, and then I earned my equity card, and as I was doing a play at IRT, I got an "this all there is" kind of feeling. And that led me back to seminary to finish my Master's of Divinity so that I could be a hospital chaplain. Now, if you would have told me 35 years ago that I would be a hospital chaplain today and love the work that I do, I would have thought you were nuts. Hospitals were not my favorite place to be. Being a quiet listening presence is not my first tendency. Some of you know me. So, you know, but I truly believe that I was transformed and changed from the inside out. So think about, what are some of the world's major influences on your life? And how do they affect you? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're supposed to undergo a metamorphosis, and that's Greek for transformation. And sometimes that means a striking alteration in appearance, character, or circumstance. So it's a transformation from one way of thinking to a new way of thinking. When our minds are made new, then we think and act differently. When I was talking to the kids earlier about namaste, about the light in me honoring the light in me, that applies to everyone, not just good people. You know, I think one of the best lessons in Buddhism is it teaches that everyone we meet has all the same goodness that is in us, regardless of their faults and failures. Just as God sees the goodness in us, regardless of our faults and failures. You know, it's almost the idea sometimes what I think I often heard in the church. You know, that being fallen or broken or having sinned was being a bad person. And when I see somebody doing something or saying something that I detest, I have to admit that I'm just as fallen and broken and have the capacity to do the same thing. But yet in Buddhism, they teach that they are to turn around and honor the goodness in everyone. So I want to challenge you all, when I challenge you, I'm challenging myself too. I want you to think of something you can do this week to honor someone who irritates you. Now, I'm sure there might be one or two people in this congregation who don't have anybody that they can think of that irritates them. And if that's the case, then look in the mirror. Because oftentimes, we irritate ourselves. You know, one of the things I think that chapter 12 in Romans talks about too is it brings a sharp correction to congregations where people seem split between the camps. You know, some people believe this way and some people believe this way. We have justice or we have spirituality. Recognizing that it's the interconnectedness of our physical activities, of service, and our spiritual lives that make us who we are. Spirituality and justice making are mutually dependent. Each is essential. It calls us to look at who we are communally. We have to live in ways that build up the body of Christ, since we are all members of one another. And we're all part of a bigger universe. All creation is interconnected, and how we live affects others. We need each other to survive. But survival isn't the goal. The body exists to be in service to the world God loves. To love someone is not simply to cater to the specific likes and dislikes of that someone. When we show love to someone, we're moving them toward God's goodness. It's rather to act toward that person in ways that help them experience more of who God is. Genuine love permeates this whole chapter 12 of Romans. In fact, it offers no fewer than 24 clear declarations of what love looks like in our relationships with other people. Among persons who are more focused on success and gaining advantage rather than on relating fairly and lovingly to others. Our mindsets change the way we live, and in a very real way, it changes us from the inside out. You know, I believe that it was the work of God in the world and in the church that gave women the right to vote, that paved the way for schools to be desegregated, that provide for the sick and hungry. I believe it's the work of Linwood Christian Church to be a light in the darkness, to offer food to feed hungry families every week, to provide household goods and clothing at a reasonable price to those in the community who need it. I know that you have a festival in September and in November. Are those 2 months?
Yeah. August and October.
August and October. Well, I'm just a month off. So those are things that Linwood does to be a light in the dark. I want you to think, if you could have 3 wishes for your church, what would they be? What is one step you could take to start making that come true? You know, we are called to be a living sacrifice. You've had the opportunity to benefit from funds of the Lilly Endowment for enrichment and renewal. So let's go back to that original question. Where do we find God? You know, I think one of the things that happens when we begin to relate to everyone with God's compassion is that we begin to notice that God's compassion is constantly surrounding us. We find the answer to the question, where to look for God, in the way that we relate to one another. That's where we find God. Not in the busyness of a big church or in some supernatural experience, but in ordinary, everyday compassion towards other people. We find God's love in a hug from a friend, or in the embrace of a child or parent. We find God's love waiting for us in the satisfaction of a good day's work. We find God's love waiting for us as we tend ordinary compassion to another human being who is hurting for whatever reason. And as it turns out, loving other people is what it means to know and to love God. Sounds kind of like the Bible, doesn't it? I believe that we are all called to be God's children because God created us. And the more I know, the more I know I don't know. But whenever I have doubt, I trust God to speak to me. Maybe I don't hear a voice speaking in my ear, but I might hear God speak to me through the words of a friend or through something I pick up and read or through the scent of the flowers in my garden. May you hear and see and extend God's grace this day and every day. Amen.